Parshas Veschanan is a theme by and large of the Parsha, is Moshe Rabbeinu's constant requesting and beseeching of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. It just tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu davened Veschanan amount of tefillos, which comes out to 515. Pnei Shu'im Brachos writes, if you do the math, if he started davening from Tu B'Av and he died in Zayin Adar, and you subtract Shabbos V'Yom Tov, it's three tefillos a day. That's the math of the Pnei Yeshua. You can try it out, see if it works out. That's the way the Pnei Yeshua writes in Brachos. That's the math. Assuming he died right after, he started davening right after Tu B'Av, right after Kalu Meisei Midbar, and he went till he died, Zayin Adar, so he didn't daven on Shabbos V'Yom Tov, so it comes out to be three tefillos a day. Moshe Rabbeinu davened so much that Hashem said, stop davening. He davened with such sincerity and honesty that he really wanted entrance into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara in Saita asks, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's deep desire to enter into Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara tells us he wanted to do mitzvahs of Tlius Baritz. He wanted to do those mitzvahs that he can't do in the Midbar. So there's a famous piece from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in last week's Parsha. We quoted it once in a halacha share. Rabbi Yaakov says from over here, why didn't the Gemara say that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael so he could fulfill the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael? It's a mitzvah. Why was that not the motivation? So he writes, Shevet Levi, that has no nachlo in Eretz Yisrael, has no mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So he had no mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. He had no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The rest of us, we have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ayin, Taisus, and Ksubis, with that Rabbeinu Chaim, whether or not it's applicable today. We've spoken about this in the past. But says Rabbi Yaakov, but Moshe Rabbeinu had no mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. All he had was a mitzvah kiyum. He wanted to do mitzvahs, and that's why he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu is davening and davening, and what happens? Hashem says him, stop davening. I'll tell you, Zabaroid, stop, no more talking. Conversation, case is closed. So I think there's a musahaska for Moshe Rabbeinu. What was Moshe Rabbeinu davening so badly for? He was davening for spirituality. He was davening for the ability to do mitzvahs. Most of us, when we daven for our own self things. We want health, which are, again, obviously very important. And we want parnasa, and we want nachas from our children. These are all very important things. But how really do we daven with such deep depth of a heart to be able to do a mitzvah? You know, when was the last time we sat down and davened and said, please Hashem, you know, send that poor guy my way so I can give him staka, so I can do more mitzvahs? Usually that's not the nature of our tefillahs. But Moshe Rabbeinu's entire tefillah was for ruchnius. He was davening just to have the ability to be able to do more mitzvahs that he's not obligated in. You don't have to do mitzvahs at Tlius Baritz if you don't live in the Eretz. But he wanted to be involved in more mitzvahs, and that's what he was davening for. I also find it interesting that once Hashem told him, that's it, he stopped. Right? When our kids ask us for things and we tell them case closed, the case is never closed. They always bring it up again next week and the following week, next hour, and they continue to press us until, you know, I'm not sure exactly how we get the message across to them. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, that's it. Hashem said, no, it's no. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's whole life was a different life than we live. He understood that if it's not the rest of Hashem, that's not what he wants anyways. You know, Kishem Kishabal Tischar Aladrisha Kach Kibal Tischar Aprisha. He said to himself, if it's not what Hashem wants, case closed, I'm going to close the case as well. And Moshe Rabbeinu moved on with his life after Hashem told him that's not going to go. But Rabbi Asher Weiss in the Sefer Menachas Asher in the Sichas asks a kash that should bother many of us. And Rabbi Soloveitchik asked a very similar kash. How could it be? Moshe Rabbeinu was the go-to davener for Klal Yisrael every single time they got into trouble. Every time Klal Yisrael was in trouble, who davened? Moshe Rabbeinu, he saved the day. Yet when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for himself, not for his own personal benefit, to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, he's rejected. How can it be? It doesn't seem to make sense. He quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says Moshe Rabbeinu was like the perfect human being that could be in this world. Was Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet when he's asking, he's rejected. So if Soloveitchik said, you see him over here, something very important. When a person davens for himself, it has so much power. When you daven for someone else, it has much more power. When Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to daven for the Jewish people, he was davening Ba'at Chaveri. He was davening for someone else. When you daven for someone else, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your tefillahs are much stronger. Here, this was somewhat of a personal experience. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for himself. He wanted to do mitzvahs. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Even the great Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's davening for himself, his tefillahs are somewhat limited. And it's true. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that if you daven for something that you need and your friend needs, and you don't daven for yourself, you daven for your friend. So the Gemara says, you're answered first. Because you're showing that it's not about me, it's about him. There's an organization, it's a website now, it's called Daven for Me. They have over 4,500 people participating, where you can go on and sign up for a tzara that you're going through, and someone else is also going through the same tzara, and you exchange names, and they give you, I think it's 5 kapitel tehillim a day to say, and you daven for each other. And I know of a personal case I was involved in, where two couples did not know each other, both having infertility issues, and both within a few months of each other, both had children. Davening for each other, unbelievable powers. It's a Gemara. Again, you can go on the website, read their testimonials. I'm telling you, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, if you daven for someone else and you need the same thing, you are answered first. It's Mefarshei Gemara. But if you need more, you can go on their website. It's fascinating. They started off with a few hundred, now they're up to 4,500 people. For all the things in the world, whatever it may be. Shidduchim, parnasa, nachas, whatever we need. And now, it's an important idea, and even beyond that, let's say you don't need anything. Baruch Hashem, you're doing great. But if you know someone who's suffering, and you can daven for them, we don't realize, we shortchange ourselves all the time, say, well, what does my tefillah do? I'm not a big Rebbe, I'm not a big Rosh Hashiva. You'd be surprised. When you daven for someone else, your tefillahs are much more powerful than when one davens for themselves. So it's an important lesson. It says from Salvation, that was the difference. But Moshe Rabbeinu davens for himself, okay. Moshe Rabbeinu is limited. Even Moshe Rabbeinu is limited. But when he davens for someone else, he davens for Klal Yisrael, he davens for another Jew, then the powers are very different. And on top of that, if you also need the same thing, if you're also going through a difficult time, then your tefillahs are that much stronger. So it's a very, very important lesson. But Rabbi Shabbai takes it a step further. He says he still doesn't understand. Where did all those tefillahs go? 515 tefillahs. We can imagine the value of these tefillahs. They're Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs. Where did they go? They went to spam mail, like they weren't received. So Rabbi Shabbai is a very important lesson for life, which many of us deal with all the time. Many times we daven for something, and we daven, and we don't like the answer. Daven for someone who's sick, that he should get better, and then the person dies. Where do those tefillahs go? Says Rabbi Shabbai, big yisoid in life. There is no such thing called, he doesn't write this, but this is, I'm adding glibble. There's no such thing called spam mail when it comes to davening. Every tefillah is received by HaKadosh Baruch. Now, you might not like or agree with the way it was processed, but it was received, and it was processed. You might would have liked it to have been processed differently, but don't think for a second that any tefillah is just gone. Never received it, Hashem never heard it, Hashem ignored it. Hashem gets it. He deals with it the way he decides is best to deal with it. But every tefillah that is said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is received, processed, and put somewhere. So says Rabbi Shabbai, so where did these tefillahs go? Where did the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu go? So he writes, unbelievable. He writes, these tefillahs were saved in a vault for Klal Yisrael. Throughout history, Klal Yisrael is going to need a little bit of Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be around to daven for them. So Hashem saved these tefillahs and opens it up, as through history, a little bit of tefillah from a Moshe Rabbeinu to help Klal Yisrael at different times in life. Very important lesson that many times we daven for people that are sick. And the stipler said this, you daven for someone who's sick and the person dies. So you feel so depressed, you feel like it was a waste of time. Said the stipler, no, it's not the case. How do you know that your tefillah didn't help, that he didn't suffer so much? It wasn't so much pain? Or if some achrayim might, maybe it was used for the next generation? Maybe you daven for X, and X didn't survive. But maybe he has a kid or a grandson who's sick, who needs a Yeshua, and those tefillahs went to him. We have no idea. But don't think for a second that those 515 tefillahs went into the garbage can. They were used, they were processed, they had a kayach, and they were used for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels right. The fact that we didn't like the answer, or Moshe Rabbeinu didn't like the answer, is irrelevant. We're not the ones to decide how it's processed. But the idea of the processing is definitely true. And I always thought that's the connection to possibly to Shabbos Nachamu. Parshas Veschanan is always read on Shabbos Nachamu. What's the Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami? What's the Nachamu? So I always thought, you know, many of us feel that we go through a Tisha B'Av and we really try our best to have a real Tisha B'Av, a meaningful Tisha B'Av. We try our best to really feel the Chor, but they really want the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And then comes Ma'ariv and Sunday night or Matzei Tisha B'Av and the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt. So a person says, so what did I do for the last 26 hours? I had a lot of better ways I could have spent my Sunday. It was all for nothing. It was a waste. I didn't bring the Beis HaMikdash. We're still in Galus. We're still suffering. So what was it all worth? The answer is it's not true. It's just like tefillah. Anything that a person does with sincerity and honesty and shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I care, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it. He saved it. Didn't go to those 26 hours when we weren't eating and we weren't drinking and we were trying to focus on the Beis HaMikdash. It didn't go nowhere. It went somewhere. We don't like the way it was processed. Okay, we don't know how it was processed. Who knows if that went towards building a wing of the Beis HaMikdash or building a brick? Who knows? But it was processed. Hashem saw that we tried and we wanted and we cared and we were distraught over the Beis HaMikdash, and that was processed. So maybe that's why Parshas Veschanan always coincides with Shabbos Nachem, because it's the same idea. Don't think for a second that things just don't make it to Hashem. It makes it. It gets there. How it's processed and how it's dealt with is a different discussion. But this year I had this chus to go to Camp Simcha. I was invited to say a shiur this week in Camp Simcha, and I came up with what I think is a new idea and possibly of the idea of Nachamu. You know, when a person goes through Chor Meis HaMikdash, all he hears is tragedy. Tragedy this and tragedy that, and we were wiped out here and we were destroyed here. It's a very depressing feeling. So what's the Nachamu? The Nachamu is, but we're still here. In Kol Zeh, through all the crusades and the inquisitions and the Holocaust, we're still here. And we're thriving. To me, that was a Nechama. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, that although we suffered so much, and the Goyim try and continue to try to eradicate us as a nation, we're still here. So I went this week to say a shiur in Camp Simcha. I said the shiur first at 9:30 at night. So I got to camp around 6, and I took a tour for over 3.5 hours of the camp, and I met the counselors, and I met campers, and I met head staff. I got to meet a lot of different people. And I came to the realization that this is fulfillment of Nachamu Nachamu Ami. You look around and you see children and adults that are suffering some of the most difficult ailments, whether it be physical ailments, mental ailments, and your heart breaks. And you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the great master of creation. Why do you do this? Why do you have people that suffer, have such a difficult life? And then you say to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menachim us by the counselors that he sent. I was unbelievably blown away by young boys and girls. These counselors are not 35-year-old experts who took training. We're talking about 20-year-old boys who just came back from Eretz Yisrael. The girls are even younger. They're 19. Some of these girls are 18. And the mesiras nefesh and love that they showed to these children and adults, it blew my mind. They're not family. They met them for the first time 3 weeks ago when the camp started. And just the love that they showed to these kids and these adults, it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. That although HaKadosh Baruch Hu put people in the world that have disabilities, Nebuch, and they have a very difficult life, but the love that these strangers show to them, and just the genuine care that they show, and the mesiras nefesh that they give to these children, it was unbelievable. That they spend every waking moment. I was talking to a counselor. He told me this camper got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We're talking about a high school kid. High school kid doesn't know what 5 o'clock in the morning is. It's not on their calendar, especially during the summer vacation. He told me he was up at 5 o'clock with the camper, and he was up the whole day. And then we started a show at 9:30 at night. Now, I said to these boys, I said, if I were you guys, I'd be in bed. Forget coming to a share. You spend the entire day physical labor, working. It's physically draining. Forget emotionally draining. It's physically draining. You have to carry the kids and make sure the kids are going where they're supposed to go. And then at night to come and learn at 9:30, 10 o'clock, the Bishmer was just full. People learning. People were studying Torah. And to me, I told them, I got more chizik from you than I think I could have given you guys in any share I give. But to me, that was the greatest nechama, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this balance in the world. That amongst the suffering, you see people that have it very difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a nechama. We have an organization, a camp, where I've heard from parents who said that without the summer, they wouldn't be able to survive with their kids at home. It's very difficult for a parent with special needs. It strains them. So when they send their child to camp, that gives this parent a break for a few weeks just to be able to relax and take care of their other responsibilities as parents. And I spoke to the head of the camp, Rabbi Khan. I said, I don't know how you sleep at night. I would feel too achrayis. If anything goes wrong, I'd be so nervous, let alone one kid. Well, a whole camp, 300 campers that all have such complicated medical histories and stories. He said he doesn't sleep. He said he doesn't sleep till camp is over. I don't know. That's a lot of weeks not to go with sleeping. But it's just, you know, people say Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. I think this was the happiest place on earth. You see what we call genuine ahava, real love. Love today is tainted with so many other things. People love for all the wrong reasons. This is a love that is not nishrash in anything else besides what you see tzel melikim, you see one of Hashem's creation. And the beauty of it was, that at least what I took out of it, there was no religious association over here. There were some chassidish kids and some lubavitcher kids and some non-religious Jews and some in between. No, there was no lines of anymore, party lines. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't work with you because we don't see eye to eye in Jewish ideology. None of that was there. It was such a genuine love from what I called umka deliba, from the depth of their heart, where they wanted to help and make a difference. And you just saw it on their faces, such a genuine simcha. It was mamisha. It was an eye-opening experience. I got to walk around the camp for about 3 hours. I was there for supper, and I was there to have mincha ma'ariv with them. It was something to see, and it's something amazing to see how there's such a love in Klal Yisrael. For people that they don't know, they're not family members, and the relationships stay forever. They stay connected to these children, and some of them are adults. They're not only children; some of them are adults for years and years, and it's beautiful to me that I said to myself, "Dos is nachamu nachamu amik." HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what He does, and He has to Nebuch for whatever reason He puts onto this world kids that have difficulties in life, whether it be physical, emotional, whatever it may be, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends shaluchim that can deal with them. He sends us these terrific. And I was blown away; these kids were little kids, a 20-year-old boy. What does a 20-year-old boy know about taking care of a complicated medical, emotional child? Well, he's 20 years old. He just got off the boat from Eretz Yisrael. You know, all he knew about was high school, and now he took 1 year in Eretz Yisrael. He has the greatest responsibility of his life, taking care of a child with special needs, with mental needs, whatever it may be. And they do it, and there's a waiting list. There's a waiting list for guys and girls waiting to join this camp. So you think they must be paying, you know, thousands of dollars. Very small salary they receive. Very small. It's not exactly a large. You're not doing this for the money. You're doing it because you care. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. These types of people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us. When there's the tzara, He sent us the nechama as well. I believe, to me, that was an eye-opening idea of Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Amongst the tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the way of dealing with the tzara, some form of a Yeshua. Okay, we're holding over here. in the trying to figure out a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Look, when the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Eliezer oimim lehevi kli me'erev Shabbos me'evi b'Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer holds if you didn't bring the Miles knife on Friday to do the milah, you're allowed to bring the Miles knife on Shabbos, because Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that machshirei milah is doicha Shabbos. Those things that are part of not the milah itself, everyone agrees the actual circumcision is doicha Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer holds even what's known as the machshirei, those things that enable the milah to take place, are also doicha Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, u'b'Shabbos migula, you bring it, you're supposed to bring it open, u'b'sakana, but if it's dangerous, mechasu al piyedim. Okay, we'll talk about that hopefully in a few weeks when we get to that part of the Gemara. But Rabbi Eliezer is very clear. If one did not bring the knife on Friday, he could bring the knife on Shabbos. So the Pashtus reading of the Gemara, and Achrayim make this ha'ara, it sounds like from the Mishnah, even according to Eliezer, it's only b'di'evet. If it's Friday afternoon, and the Mayel's sitting around eating cholent, and someone says to the Mayel, hey, did you bring the knife to the shul? He says, hey, why should I bother? I'll bring it on Shabbos. That's not right. You're supposed to do it before. If you didn't, if for whatever reason, you were unable to bring the knife, then you can bring it on Shabbos. However, we're going to see that the Gemara in Yevamis, Gemara by us, Tyson Yevam, seems to rule not like that. But says, I want to just get to the end of the Mishnah. Cloud the Oidam Rebelezer, another Chiddush of Rebelezer. Curse him, ate some lasses, pochomin, lasses, kli barzel. According to Rebelezer, not only are you allowed to carry a knife, you're allowed to chop down wood to make a knife. Let's say you wake up Shabbos morning, you say, oh, there's no knife. So what does he do? Okay, he says, no problem. He goes to the forest, chops down a wood, and he cuts up the wood, he makes a knife. Boom. Makes a knife on Shabbos. Okay. Cloud Omer Reb Akiva. Says Rabbi Akiva, no, this is the rule. Kol melacha she'efshal la'asoy simei erev Shabbos, anything that could have been done on Friday, eina doiches Shabbos. Does not push off Shabbos. Anything you could have done, you could have carried the knife, and you could have made the knife, you could have went and bought the knife, that's not doiches Shabbos. Now, we're going to leave the parentheses out for now, we'll talk more about it. But she'efshal la'asoy simei erev Shabbos, but something which couldn't have been done before Shabbos, what couldn't have been done before Shabbos? The milah. The actual milah couldn't be done before Shabbos. So that's doicha Shabbos, but nothing else is doicha Shabbos. So we're going to talk a little bit later today about Rebbe Akiva Shita, which is who we paskin la halacha. We paskin like Rebbe Akiva, that you got to take care of all the needs before Shabbos. We'll talk about Rebbe Akiva. That's what we need to get to today. We need to talk about today, and that's the end, the later part of today's shiur. According to Rebbe Akiva, what happens if you did all the preparatory you could have done? You brought all the knives to the shul before, and he wakes up Shabbos morning, the knife broke, it got stolen. What do you do now according to Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Akiva says, Kol she'ef shal asayis me'ev Shabbos. Anything that couldn't have been done before Shabbos. Well, what does that mean, couldn't have? Physically, or couldn't have been done, you know, practically? Meaning, I can't prepare more than I did. What more do you want me to do? I prepared the knives, and a ganav broke into the shul and stole the knife. What do you want me to do? So that's going to depend on whether or not you're greater with the word umila. Right? Mila is the most extreme example. Mila is something which is impossible to do on Friday. Impossible. Everything else is possible. You could have prepared an extra knife. You could have had five knives. You know. What? Right. Yeah, we're going to have to come back to that old topic about doing meal earlier based on the Ramon Shochanah. That's what comes up. Right, so I wanted to say when we first learned this mission, I had such a possibility that maybe Rabbi Akiva was just the lechatchila of Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi, and almost all the Rishonim learn not like that. They learn that Rabbi Eliezer is arguing completely across the board against Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll talk more about Rabbi Akiva's sheet a little later today. I want to just finish up talking about Rabbi Eliezer's sheet. So as was mentioned, when you read this first Mishnah, you get the impression that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're only allowed to be mechal Shabbos for machshirei milah if it was b'di'evet. Meaning, you planned everything and you tried, but it didn't work out. So then Rabbi Eliezer holds, no problem. Carry the knife and go out and build the knife and go shopping. Oh, b'di'evet.
You forgot.
Well, no. Imloy Havi sounds like it's b'di'evet. B'di'evet. Meaning, lechatchil, if you asked Rabbi Eliezer, you told him it's Friday afternoon, and the Shabbos is in 3 hours, should I start the preparatory procedures for the bris milah to have other? Of course you should. Bring the knife and make sure you have a knife. And if you don't have a knife, go to the store and buy a knife. However, if you wake up Shabbos morning and realize it, then you can do. However, there's an important Gemara in number 3. Number 3 is a Gemara a few lines into our Gemara, where the Gemara writes like this. Tan Rabban, b'mkoymish Rebbe Eliezer, in the town of Rebbe Eliezer, ha'yukarsin eitzim, they used to chop down wood, la'asayis p'chamin, la'asayis barzel b'shabbos. In Rebbe Eliezer's town, where he was the Rav, they used to chop down wood, and they'd make coals, and they'd make the knife on Shabbos. What exactly is the chiddush of this Gemara? So if you look at number 4, Tosfos and Yevamis, on this Gemara, same Gemara is found in Yevamis, Tosfos writes, b'mischavin, on purpose, ha'yumevim atzmon. They did this on purpose. They waited bedavka till Shabbos morning, till they were decided, let's go get the knife. And they'd go out Shabbos morning, and they'd go to the forest and chop down the trees and make a knife from scratch. Why? Says Taizus, Shiutzvicham lekach mishom chivuv mitzvah. They wanted to show how much they love the mitzvah of Milah, and they love Milah Doicha Shabbos. So as an expression of their love for the mitzvah, they would wait bedavka. I mean, they were sitting around Friday afternoon, and someone said, do you have a knife? He says, no, I don't have a knife. You plan on getting a knife? Yeah, so Shabbos morning, after davening, before davening, after I go to the mikvah, I'll go to the store and I'll buy a knife, or I'll go to the forest and chop down a knife. Bedavka, planned out like this. Why? Says Taisus, to show an expression of chuvei mitzvah. Okay. So we mentioned already one pshat last week. So we had the kasha last week from a baron cutler in Mishnah Ser Baron on Masecha Shabbos. In fact, the baron, says, what's going on over here? He says, let's go back two steps. Says the baron, we know there's an old chakira, which we'll talk more about in the next upcoming weeks, I hope. Is Mila b'Shabbos known as Hutra, or is it known as Tchuya? How do you look at it? Is the pshat that when Shabbos and Mila fall out together, it's now Tuesday? Shabbos is now Tuesday. Don't look at it as Shabbos. It's Tuesday. You do everything you need to do as if it would be Tuesday. That's what Hutra would mean. And we mentioned it, we had it on one of the sheets a few weeks ago. It's a Mefurash Ran like that. The Ran writes in the beginning of the Perek that Shabbos is Hutra. Treat it like a regular day. It's not Shabbos, it's Tuesday. The other side is that it's tchuya. Tchuya means that the two things are in conflict and one has to push away the other. But it doesn't mean it's not Shabbos. Of course it's Shabbos. But you have to have rules of what pushes away the other.
So which one shows more tchuya for the mitzvah? Tchuya or hutra?
Rabbi Baron says Rabbi Baron like this. If you hold it's tchuya, I definitely don't understand tchuya. Tchuya means that you have to take everything into consideration and try to make the two things work. So if I can make the two things work, why should I force one to be pushed away? Then Reb Aaron says, and let's say you hold this hutra. Says Reb Aaron, the hutra doesn't mean that you have the right to set yourself up to be in a situation of hutra. Hutra means if it happens to happen, and you can't control the situation, it becomes hutra. This is a controllable situation. Who told you on Friday afternoon, instead of eating kugel, go out and buy a knife? On Shabbos is hutra, because I have to do a meal on Shabbos, and I have Shabbos, so it's hutra. But says Reb Aaron, this was set up hutra. You're not allowed to set up to have hutra. You could have been done it on Friday. Why would you wait for Shabbos?
So the hutra only applies to the actual meal.
That's right. Or something that you can't control. No, meaning right. if you'd be presented right. Stuck in a situation.
Right.
So Baron comes.
But
yeah.
Perforce, it's hutra because there is a mila. So once there is a mila, right. Now you're in a situation of hutra. So if you want to show chibov and you hold that all the hechsher
okay,
on
good.
The mila, so then you want to add as much to the mila.
Okay, as you okay.
Can.
So the way Reb Aaron Kotler says it in Mishnah Sabaron, Reb Aaron is masbel like this. Reb Aaron said that we have a different understanding of what mila b'Shabbos means according to Eliezer. He quotes, I believe it's a mechilta, but the mechilta says based on the pasuk in the Torah that according to Eliezer, when a person has a mila on a Shabbos, it's a fulfillment of Shabbos. It's not the pshat that they're in contrast. You have to be a contradiction. Do I do Shabbos? Do I do meal? This is a fulfillment when it says in the Torah, "Ois bris la'olam." A person that Shabbos is a treaty forever. It doesn't mean Shabbos. It means the bris should be forever. Which means, says Reb Aaron, that Reb Eliezer understood that the Ratzon HaTorah is not this is a chilul Shabbos, but I have to do it. It's not a chilul Shabbos. It's a kiyum HaShabbos. This is goof for what Shabbos wants you to do, or what Hashem wants you to do with Shabbos. Normally we look at it, we say, well, I have two contradictory things to do. Either Shabbos or a malach. Which one? Says Rabbi, it's not like that. It's that this malacha is a fulfillment of keeping Shabbos. Not the opposite, that this mitzvah is a violation of Shabbos. This mitzvah is a fulfillment of Shabbos. So therefore, says Rabbi, when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila, and it's machshireha, which are like the mitzvah, which is mefurash like that in Rishonim already, says Rabbi, so it's not the pshat that I mean mechal Shabbos. It's not chil Shabbos, it's kiyum Shabbos. That's why it's not. That's why according to him is lechatchila. No, I'm saying that's right. Again, Tosis and Yevamah seems to argue on this Gemara. 100%. Achrayna point this out. I don't have a good answer. Tosis and Yevamah seems to be learning not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah sounds like only B'dievet. Rabbi Aaron is coming to explain Pshat and Tosis. Tosis and Yevamah that learns. You can do it even lechatchila on Friday afternoon and plan it out. That's what, because Rabbi Aaron says this lundus. Now,
does he also explain maybe that's Pshat and the Bris in order to... You need a bris, whether it's there's two types of bris. There's the bris Shabbos, the bris of Mila.
Right.
when they happen to coincide, so then that's pshat in the bris of Shabbos that it becomes the bris of Mila, and it becomes one thing.
No, he says it's a fulfillment. I think that's the same thing. He means it's a fulfillment of keeping Shabbos.
No, right, because we were questioning, I think 2 weeks ago, which bris trumps which. In other words, the bris of Shabbos or the bris of Mila. Here he's saying that's takip shat in the bris. In other words, and that's when it coincides.
Right, he's saying
bris
that's...
Mila becomes bris Shabbos.
I don't know if it... I mean, he says it's a fulfillment of the pasuk that says on Shabbos it should be a bris olam. Is referencing making a bris on Shabbos. I think it's a similar idea.
So is the Rishonim that say that Machshirei Mitzvah are like the mitzvah, is that regardless of whether it could have been avoided?
So that's according to Tosfos, it's regardless. According to the simple reading of the Mishnah, not like that. Rabbi Aaron's come to explain Tosfos. Tosfos says that even if you could have done it differently, you don't have to. Why? Because according to Rabbi Aaron, when you do a bris on Shabbos, you're not violating Shabbos. We have a rule that why set yourself up to violate Shabbos? Because according to Rabbi Aaron, I'm not violating Shabbos. I'm actually keeping Shabbos. Keeping Shabbos here, it looks like a violation, but it's actually a fulfillment of honoring Shabbos. That was Rabbi Aaron's pshat. We mentioned this last week.
Because you're sharpening the knife on Yantav to because you want to shap the animal that you're going to use on Yantav. So I don't, it
right. No, because that's a different lumnus.
That's not a mitzvah.
I mean, right, that's not a fulfillment in Yom Tov.
I have a meal for Yom Tov. I need
having a meal for Yom Tov is one of the dinim that are neveh. Here he's saying this is the fulfillment of what Shabbos is.
Bris.
Shabbos is a bris. What does it mean to be a bris? It means to have this type of experience like a bris meal. Again, the problem that I have with the Baron's prayers, I'm not so sure how it reads until the end of Tosfos. It's not chiv of mitzvah. It's not chiv of mitzvah. But
preparing for the mitzvah.
He's showing. So according to Rabbi Aaron, chiv of mitzvah means not that you love the mitzvah. Chiv of mitzvah that the mitzvah is beloved. That according to Hashem, doing a meal on Shabbos is not a violation of Shabbos. It's actually a fulfillment of Shabbos. That's not the way we read Tosfos.
The mitzvah of Shabbos.
Right. It means it's a showing.
The mitzvah that is the chivah is Shabbos, not Mila.
And by breaking,
doing the Mila,
that's what you're
going
to have to say. That's what you're going to have to say. Now, the Ar Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha over here, believe it or not, in all places, in Hilchos Karban Pesach, in Perek Aleph, so Rav Meir Simcha has a whole different pshat in this Tosfos. Very different than Rav Aaron. Rav Meir Simcha writes, what's pshat in Tosfos? Again, what's the kash? Tosfos holds that according to Eliezer, I can plan to have to be Machal Shabbos under the banner of Machshirei Mila Decha Shabbos. I can plan it out. I can schedule a situation where I'm going to need to be Machal Shabbos, although I could have done it earlier, I don't have to. So according to Rabbi Aaron, the reason is you don't have to is because it's not a violation of Shabbos, it's a fulfillment of Shabbos. Rav Meir Simcha says it's slightly different. He writes that you don't have to worry about Mila until the mitzvah comes. You don't have to, it's not your problem. You don't have to worry about how to do a mitzvah until a mitzvah actually is applicable. So on Friday afternoon, why do you have to worry about how to do the milah? I don't have a mitzvah on Friday. There's no mitzvah to mal the baby on Friday. The mitzvah is to mal the baby on Shabbos. So therefore, argued Ar Sameach, I don't have to worry about the mitzvah until the mitzvah is in front of me. The mitzvah is not in front of me until Shabbos. Maybe Friday night. We spoke about the last time, the Imre Bina, about whether or not the mitzvah starts Friday night. But says the Ar Sameach, I only have to worry about the mitzvah when the mitzvah is in front of me. He wasn't a believer in, you know, preparing earlier. You worry about it when it happens. Shabbos morning, you worry about it.
Is that across the board, only because of bris, because of the...
No. He's saying that's the way you adhere the mitzvah of Mila. The mitzvah of Mila... Rabbi Aaron's very different, right? Rabbi Aaron is coming a whole different angle. Now, this might not be like we learned from the Marach or Zeruah. We mentioned a while back, the Marach or Zeruah holds a job of the mitzvah of Mila is to be busy with the preparation of the Mila.
I saw that's
the Marach or Zeruah. Right? We mentioned this Marach or Zeruah. That's right. That's what we were Mazbar. That's how we were Mazbar that Tosfos in Kiddushin, right?
So when he holds you buy a lulav and esrog on sukkahs?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So according to him, where does this end, right? We know there's an idea of preparing. You're supposed to be ready.
Right.
So Taka, when we're going to have to, but Taka going to see when we get to see Rabbi Eliezer Sheet in the Gemara, we're going to learn that he Taka holds us by many other mitzvahs. It's not only by Mila. He holds Machshirei all mitzvahs of Deicha Shabbos. And if you Taka wake up a little sukkahs morning, you don't have a lulav, so you go to the backyard and you pluck it off the tree and you take the dasam off the tree and you do all these things. So this is this Ar Sameach from Rabbi Simcha is Rabbi Chizkiah. We'll read it inside. You know, I'm not trying to really be masbred. I think it needs more explanation. But I'll just he's trying to, again, everyone's trying to answer this Tosfos in Yevamos. So the Rabbi Simcha writes, Vine bi Yevamos, behold the Amru, Kaim Shabliyaz, Hari Kaisim, Eitzam Asis, Pachomim B'Shabbos, Bishop B'Tosfos, B'Mischavin, Hoi B'Vin Asim, Mishit Tzvichim L'Kach, did on purpose. But Nechiv of Mitzvah. Haloy the Svarasi says the Arsamech, what's the Svara? To Avshi Yochel Kaim Lassis Be'er Shavas Beloy Tchia, you could have done it on Friday without having to push away anything. Because Hoyu Voloy Motas Man Chiyuva, since on Friday there's no mitzvah, which again we spoke about this also. We learned that maybe the way Rabbi Shavas was Mazbe the Ramah, maybe there really is a mitzvah, there's just no practical Kima mitzvah, but there might be something earlier. He says, since there's nothing earlier, so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about how to do a mitzvah until the mitzvah is in front of you. When the mitzvah is in front of you, then you worry about it. So you wake up Shabbos morning, you say, oh, I don't have a knife now. What do you mean? Yesterday could have had a knife. I didn't have to worry about yesterday. Because yesterday I didn't have a mitzvah. This is the chiddush of Meir Simcha. So according to, right, this is the anti, let's prepare in advance. Says with Meir Simcha, I'm not required to worry about the future. I deal with it as it comes to me. So can you imagine the guy wakes up the day of his son's birth, Taka, I don't have a mile. I gotta get a mile today. he wakes up now. So argues with Meir Simcha that the chiyuv to be concerned first starts when the mitzvah actually exists. So therefore says Meir Simcha, it's not a kasha pshat. Oh, so I don't know what he would do with Friday night.
That was
Machloikis Achrayim. We mentioned this Machloikis Achrayim between the Imre Bina, the Chassam Sofer, and others. What about Friday night? Would Friday night be also, according to Akiva, you'd be allowed, according to Eliezer, would you allow to be Machal Shabbos Friday night to prepare for Shabbos morning? On one hand, you say, well, it's not the Chiv yet. If you hold, it's connected to the Chiv. According to Rav Meir Simcha, I would think he'd say, you're not allowed to do it Friday night. You'd have to wait, like the way the Imre Bina writes it. No, Shabbos morning. Once it hits daylight, Shabbos morning, that's when the mitzvah kicks in. That's when the mitzvah kicks in. Friday night, there is no mitzvah meal.
Even though the Zman Chiyuv may exist, even though you can't do it.
That's where Rabbi Shavai said it. Rabbi Shavai had this idea that there's a Zman
Chiyuv. By the Truma oil.
Right. That's where Rabbi Shavai wanted to learn. So it's going to be telling this. And Echanami, it's going to be dependent on how do you look at the night or before day 8. Is the pshat that there's no Chiyuv and there's no kiyum, or there's no kiyum, but there's a potential chiyum, and therefore, according to the Maracha or Zeruah, you should be busy with it, and while other pshatim as well. Okay.
Regular Shabbos, things that are covered Shabbos are before Shabbos. Things you have to prepare.
Right, that's because the Torah didn't give you permission to be Mechal the Shabbos for them. Milo, the Torah. Right, again, he learns that, again, that we all have to start from the point that the Torah permitted Milo on Shabbos. Umach Shireha, according to Rabbi Akiva. It's Mach Shireha, like the mitzvah itself. So you say, but why wait till now? Because I don't have to be busy with it earlier. That's what he looks at it. I can't cook my challah on Shabbos.
No,
that's because Hashem doesn't let you cook challah on Shabbos. If Hashem would have allowed you to cook challah on Shabbos, then we could all make our challah on Shabbos morning. We wouldn't have to make it on Friday. But since Hashem does allow us to make the meal, but since Hashem does allow us to do meal on Shabbos, argues our Sameach, so if I'm allowed to worry first on Shabbos, so I don't worry about it earlier. That's what made a Simchas Pshat in this Taisus and Yavamis. Again, this Taisus and Yavamis seems to argue on our Mishnah. I don't have a good answer to this.
Why are we jumping on Tosos? It's the
Brisa. The Brisa. Unless you learned that the Brisa was talking about when they had, they woke up later. And it's the Brisa based on Taisus. Yeah.
Is there anything special about the mitzvah bris milah versus every other mitzvah?
So that's the problem. According to what we're saying now, according to Reb Aaron's pshat, this should not help you for other mitzvahs. According to Reb Aaron's pshat, that has to do with because being mechal Shabbos for a bris is a fulfillment of Shabbos. That's not going to help you explain a lulav. That's not going to help you why you'd be allowed to. Where's pekach nefesh for what?
If you mechal Shabbos pekach nefesh, we view that as a kiyum of Shabbos.
Right, so that we learned, the Ran writes by us in the beginning of our parashah, that's called Dochui. The Ran calls Pekuach Nefesh Dochui. As opposed to Mila, which he calls Hutra. That's why the Ran answers in our Mishnah, why, according to Eliezer, don't you have to use a Shina when carrying the knife? You read the Mishnah, Eliezer says, carry the knife. Frek the Ran, what do you mean? Why don't you use a Shina? Everything else would use a Shina. Why don't you use a Shina? Says the Ran, because Mila is Hutra. Hutra means it's business as usual. He says, Pekuach Nefesh is Dochuya. So for Pekuach Nefesh, you have to cut back on what you do, not for Shabbos. So again, we'll come back, Belined to Hotra and Chuya later on.
There was in one of the local papers of the Bar Torah, and this on Beres Chana, where it talks about, forget the pasuk, but when you go into the land, and you conquer the land, and there's a pasuk there that he says, whoever wrote, that it means that you're allowed, it brings down a Gemara, that you're allowed to eat tarfas, that we're conquering the land.
Gemara and Chulin.
Right, the Gemara and Chulin. So he was explaining what that means, that the mitzvahs you have to...
Well, the Jewish...
It's, we have to understand what a mitzvah is. Hashem, at that point,
that's right. That's right. Exactly.
Everything. So it's not like we were able to eat harvest. That wasn't true because Hashem said eat it. So same thing over here. It's mila. Hashem said do the mila. It's not.
All right. It's not like you're trying to figure out. It's a fulfillment of the Shabbos. That's the way Byron says. That's right. There's a Shaar HaTzion brings the Shaar HaTshuva brings down from the Chidah that the Chidah said there are those that held that on Matzah Shabbos you're allowed to eat leftovers from Shabbos during the 9 days. And he says it's based on this Gemara and Chulin that everyone's referencing. The Gemara and Chulin said that they were allowed to eat the leftover meat that was kosher at that time. When it was brought into Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to continue to eat it because it got in before the time. So the Chidah brings down that those people held that if I make food for Shabbos, I'm allowed to eat meat on Shabbos. So all the leftovers are allowed to be eaten on Shabbos also based on this Gemara and Chulin. He widely rejects it, and it's not the accepted opinion. But Yaakov Reich held...
Even like this year when Sunday was Tisha B'Av.
That would be a big chiddush. Rabbi Yaakov Breish discussed maybe using it from Lava Malch, but that Gemara has halachic ramifications. Wow. The Rush writes over the Nechulim that the Gemara was mesupik, and he says it's negei halachah l'maisa. How's it negei halachah l'maisa? Teretz says it's negei during the 9 days. So that Gemara has halachic ramifications nonetheless.
According to Rabbi Eliezer, other than bris,
No, Rabbi Eliezer is going to be not only by Mila. We're going to learn later on. We have like two blot to go, so we'll get there basically, I don't know, 3 years. Where Rabbi Eliezer talks about other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs also. Yeah, other than Milo. Yeah. But Lina, we will get there. Yeah.
Because like the reference there of Kuach Nefesh, too, if you know somebody who's ill, if you don't, and you say, well, if he gets so sick on Shabbos, you know, I'll do what I have to, other than take care of him before Shabbos. So,
right. So because according to Bliyaz, Milo is Hutra. But Pekuach Nefesh is Dechuya, which means you got to prep everything you can do before.
We have other examples?
Yeah, we're going to get to other mitzvahs. We're going to see, yeah. There's going to be other mitzvahs in Abliyaz's world that are also Hutra. Yeah.
Well,
what are the options?
Shabbos, okay.
How
far options? And buying the lulav.
So we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait and see. But again, it's hard to believe that according to Tyson, the guy's sitting around Friday afternoon, and he says to himself, you know what, I'm not going to go buy the Miles knife. Instead, I'm going to wait till Shabbos morning, where everyone's waiting for me. I'm going to go out to, you know, go to Home Depot and buy the Miles knife then. You know, like, it's a strange thing. Like why? Like,
what do you mean? You love it. So you love it more today when it's the mitzvah than you
think? Again, I think you're going to have to fill it in either according to a baron or according to our semech. Chiva mitzvah, because the mitzvah is beloved, the mitzvah of Mila on Shabbos is a beloved mitzvah, and you want to show that it's so chashiv that it's Deicha Shabbos, so you want to express it that way. So therefore you wait to make it
a steer to Shabbos. Less of a level if you prepare of Shabbos.
Right, because then you're not showing how chashiv it is that it's Deicha Shabbos. Umach Shireh. There's an interesting halach in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber Paschal is number 6. Bechol Molin. You can use anything to do a mila, any kli you want. Va'afilu b'tzur, even a rock, u'b'schuchas and glass. Again, I would like to believe you would make sure it's clean first, from a medical point. U'b'chol ha'dover ha'kairis. You can use anything that cuts, anything you want. Chutz mi'kremis shel kona, v'shaksamim nitozim imenu. I guess some pieces get fly off, it's dangerous. V'yavol de kroshuvcha, and you can really harm the baby. Okay. Good. Every meal you're going to go to, you're always going to find that the meal is done with something made out of metal. It's a metal piece that we use. Whether it's going to be a knife or it's going to be scissors, whatever it's going to be, it's always made out of metal. But no gulomul basalik. Today we use a knife, we don't use scissors. This is based on the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch brings the halacha. So the Vilna Gaon wants to know. Why? Why does it have to be metal? If you can use anything, why does it have to be metal?
He says, why is it a mufchar?
Right, why is it mufchar? Right, why is it mitzvah and a mufchar? So the Vilna Gaon says it's based on our mission at the beginning of the 19th Perek in Shabbos. Says the Vilna Gaon number 17, mi mashakasa b'reish perek yotes to Shabbos, v'oid amr b'lezer, karsin eitz and lasis b'chom and lasis kli barzo. Says the Vilna Gaon, you see in our Mishnah, that Eliezer has this thing that they're making kli barzo. Why kli barzo? Well, who needs kli barzo? Elmai says the Vilna Gaon, you see, again, we don't pass like Eliezer. We don't pass it like Rabbi Eliezer for about being Mechal Shabbos, yet according to the Vilna Gaon, we pass that there's some chashivas upon using a Kli Barzel, because that's what Rabbi Eliezer keeps on talking about in the Mishnah, to make a Kli Barzel. He could have left out. He could have just wrote, Karsim, Eitzim, Lasseis, Pechamim, Lasseis, Kli. Why do you have to say barzel? Why is that important? You'll make whatever you need. You'll be mechal Shabbos, whatever you need. If you need to go make a knife in another way, you can do it. So the Vilna Gaon says that's where it comes from, the mitzvah min hamufcha. This is what's accepted today. We always use metal, and it's the fulfillment of Rebbe Eliezer. Although we don't pass like Rebbe Eliezer about Shabbos, we at least adapted Rebbe Eliezer's idea of what to use for the Moel's knife, and that's what we do today.
That's for a mila, but for anything, any other mitzvah, you're not supposed to use metal at all.
That's correct. And normally, that's right. Normally, metal is bad. That's why we don't have the metal knife on the table when we bench. Chab and Shulchan Aruch brings it down. And usually, metal is associated with bad and destroys things. Here, it's ironic. It's the other way around.
You suggest that Rabbi Lezer would have only held this in the case of doing barzel, that if you didn't.
Oh, very good. So, if you just skip to the next page for a second, I put down over here Shaila number 22. Again, someone cleared the following Shaila. Yesh l'estapik. Im yesh l'tzur d'matzi l'omobo. What would Rabbi Lezer hold? The guy showed, the Mayor shows up Shabbos morning, and he's told there's no knife. We have a rock. No, it's clean rock. What's better? Would you be allowed to be Machal Shabbos to get Barzel? Or do we say no? You have another option. Why Machal Shabbos? It's only Mitzvah Ben Amufcha. According to Eliezer.
Yeah, what's the Hava mean?
So he writes over here, Yesh l'stapik, im yesh l'tzor d'matzi l'omobo. If you have a rock that you could technically use for milo, avo mitzvah min amufchu dafka bebarzel, kemashkasa v'rambam, igam king doiche Shabbos kimin the milo nitzche. Again, this might be totally in the old child of Chutzah and Chuyot. If the pshar is that it's Chutzah, it's Tuesday. On Tuesday, if you had a rock, and you said, well, I only have a rock, you'd say, so what? Go to the store and buy a metal knife. Mm-hmm. So possibly you do the same thing also. Mm-hmm. If it's the chuya and you have to try to make everything work, you say to yourself, listen, make a taste, I have the right to be Machal Shabbos.
Certainly, if it's the Mitzvah then for sure you would go out of your way.
Oh, back on Tosis and Yevamis. If you go like Tosis and Yevamis, where we go out of our way to be Machal Shabbos, so maybe here also. Yeah. Hey, I'm not sure.
But who says that's chiv of a mitzvah? I'm sorry. Who says that's chiv of a mitzvah? The rock thing. More so than the.
You're showing how much you love to do the mitzvah and it's incomplete. I'm not sure. I'm a subject. I'm not sure. I'm just throwing the shayla out. I thought it was an interesting shayla that how far would this go in Rebbe Eliezer's world? Would Rebbe Eliezer say you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a mitzvah and a mufchor? This might take us back to the old shayla we had with the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin. Machlok is Ram and Tur. Are you allowed to go back for a hiddur mitzvah? Are you allowed to go back in, on Shabbos and fix a mila? For just for Hidda Mitzvah, Machlokes Rambam and Tur, which we spoke about, I'm sure we'll speak again. But that was just an interesting shayla that comes up.
We say Machlokes Chutzah D'Chuyah by Mila. Is that within Rabbi Eliezer, or saying that's Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Akiva?
No, for now we're going to talk about Rabbi Eliezer. We'll talk about Rabbi Akiva at some point as well.
So you can understand Rabbi Eliezer being D'Chuyah? I'm not sure how you...
It's a very hard sell. It's a hard sell, especially if you go like Tesis and Yevamis. It's a very hard sell to assume it's D'Chuyah. Yeah. It's hard to assume like that. Even though Rabbi Aaron makes it sound like that, that's such a possibility. Well, we'll have to see. Yeah, in Rishonim, it's Mavor like that. We'll have to get to it, hopefully, either this week or next week. No. I'm more optimistic than that. More optimistic. Just to round up the Shailas, on number 8, they bring down on the Ha'aris on the tour, they quote another reason why we use metal. It doesn't hurt so much the baby. So the reason why we use metal is it makes less pain for the baby. Practical, bein besakim, bein mispirayim, v'nogu kol yisro lomo besakim. So a very practical reason why we use metal, not like the Vilna Gaon, because he got it from our Mishnah, but instead we use metal just because it's easier and more practical. That could be why Rabbi Eliezer did it, right. The Vilna Gaon wasn't coming to give you a reason, he was coming to give you a makar, a source. The shayla is like this. Let's talk now. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. I think we finished with Rabbi Eliezer, and we don't even pass on Rabbi Eliezer. Let's talk about Rabbi Akiva for a little bit. Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying that kol melacha she'efshar la'asoisim erev Shabbos ein adecha Shabbos. Now Rabbi Akiva is important because we actually pass on Rabbi Akiva, so we got to get a better understanding not only in Lumdis but where Rabbi Akiva is coming from. Rabbi Akiva says kol melacha she'efshar la'asoisim erev Shabbos ein adecha Shabbos. So clearly, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you're sitting around Friday afternoon and you say to yourself, "Oh, I don't have a Miles knife," you got to go out and buy a Miles knife. Now, the question is, what happens in Rabbi Akiva's world if you have a situation where it was an uncontrollable situation? I mean, I prepared everything I was supposed to prepare, and I did everything I was supposed to do, and I show up Shabbos morning, and there's no Miles knife, it was stolen, it broke, whatever it may be. Would Rabbi Akiva then still allow you to be Machal Shabbos?
Well, even not that. Even you didn't do it. It's just to get an Aveira, but you still have to do the bris. I mean, what would he... I would have a question also. What if he just decided, no, I'm not going to do it, I don't care. I want to hold like Rabbi Eliezer. And then somebody says, you're an idiot. Yeah, we hold like...
But I would assume you'd have to wait till Sunday. You're not in Machal Shabbos. You're not Mechal Shabbos.
That's what he's saying. You're not allowed
to be. You're not Mechal Shabbos.
But the Torah says that you can do a bris.
Yeah, the Torah says you, if you prepare it before, you can do it on Shabbos. The Torah was not to the actual chaticha. Again, the Torah was never not to the preparatory. Rebbe Eliezer has his bomb chiddush that the Torah was not to the preparatory things as well. You can do the actual meal. So you gotta. Now we'll see.
How does the is it a mitzvah to be mild or a mitzvah to do a
right, so that right, we spoke, but again, why should that change? Okay, we're talking about in Rabbi Akiva's world. Rabbi Akiva holds machshirim milah is not deicha Shabbos. The only thing that's deicha Shabbos is the actual cutting. So you got to set yourself up before Shabbos that you're ready to do, that all you need to do is cut. The cut is deicha Shabbos, nothing else. But what happens if I did all of that and now I show up Shabbos morning and an uncontrollable situation presents itself? What does Rabbi Akiva hold? Yeah.
Does anybody hold the Chakira of Hutra and Dechuy and Rabbi Kiva? Because it's hard to learn Hutra.
Again, Hutra could still be on the Maisa Mila.
Only on the
Maisa Mila. The difference between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Kiva is that Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshireha is Kimila. While Rabbi Kiva says not so fast. Now, there might be times that even Rabbi Kiva's world...
still hold Hutra?
Yeah, it's possible. Again, the actual Mila could be Hutra. Uh-huh. The Mila itself. The question is, what do you do with the Machshireha? Now, I ask you, let's go a different way. According to Rabbi Kiva, that machshirei milah is not deicha Shabbos. And I decide, let's say your case, the guy decides he's going to be in action, he's going to do the milah anyway. What violation would it be? An issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabban? So pashtas, if I don't know, d'oraisa, you're machal Shabbos. You're causing blood and chabura, whatever the other malachas are. There's an unbelievable me'iri. Whenever you want to find a das yachin the rishayim that's so out there, you got to go through the me'iri. So there's a me'iri megillah, number 9. Unbelievable me'iri. I'm not even sure which way to make with this me'iri, but it's one of those me'iris that you got to mention when you learn this parak. The Me'iri is discussing the kash that we've spoken about many times and we never really dealt with it properly, about why is there no gzeirah d'rabba on Mila. Right, we know that anything that can be done in Shabbos, we usually apply the rule gzeirah d'rabba. You can't blow shofar on Shabbos, and you can't read Megillah, and you can't shake lulav. We're always afraid, shemi
yaviren. You're not letting him.
That's one of the answers. There's, I don't know, about five answers, six answers in the Rishonim. Probably more in the Acharonim. There's a Tosfos in a bunch of places, and Rishonim all over, they talk about the Shaila. So the Me'iri is coming to give an answer. Again, I think we could spend the whole shit trying to understand this Miri.
You should ask
a Mili b'yom ha'shmini al gzeirah d'rab. Maybe you'll come to carry the knife.
It's
no different than shofar. Shofar is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Says in the Torah to blow shofar. And yet the rabbanon have a power to say, nope, don't do it. Here also, although it's a mitzvah b'yom ha'shmini, don't do it. Because we're afraid you may come to do greater chel
shabbos. It's different by lulav, by lulav and by shofar. It's... even if you bring it in advance, so it's there, so there's no deraisa of carrying it, we still
don't let you.
Right, the Gzeirah d'Rabba has nothing to do with saying.
No,
well,
that's correct.
Gzeirah
d'Rabba says it's out. We are eradicating the entire mitzvah.
Because we're worried that you might come to be Shabbos, but if you didn't do it, so it's
still there's a chakira. And again, this is discussed in Rosh Hashanah. Let's say a person decides that he's going to do it anyways in Shabbos. He's not going to listen to Rabba. Is he a fulfillment of a mitzvah? Can Chazal change the Torah to the point where you're not even getting Schar Mitzvah? Or Chazal said, no, we don't allow you to do this. If you went and did it, we can't change what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. It's a big Chakira. It's Machlokes Rishonim, the whole discussion.
Wouldn't it also depend on the Rambam whether every Rabbanan is a Deraisa? So then...
so you'll be Yovel Sasser, but doesn't mean you won't be Yotzei the Mitzvah.
But say, no, but then you'd be doing the Mitzvah also. You could do it in reverse. No, every time you're over Lo Sasser, right, you're over a Deraisa. Every time you're over the Rabbanan. So maybe every time you're Mekayim it, you also get the Mitzvah. In other words, if you Rabbanan, then you'll get a derabbanan.
No, here you're breaking the derabbanan.
I understand, but I'm explaining. The same way it works is as a negative, maybe it could work as a positive. Meaning, whenever you say lo sasser, right, that means that you're also over the, every time you're over the derabbanan, you're over the derisa. So maybe here in this particular case, where you're being mekayim the derabbanan, okay, you could be mekayim the
you're saying when you don't blow shofar.
I'm talking about when you do blow shofar. I'm asking a case where a guy decides on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah he's going to blow shofar. Is he going to get a check in Shemayim for blowing shofar this year? That's my shayla. So on one end you can say, yeah. All the rabbanim can do is they can change the Torah. They can stop you. They can hold you back. L'havdil, they can hold you and tie you down to... there's still a mitzvah. They have the power of holding you back and telling you not to do it. Yeah. If he doesn't do it... he gets a mitzvah of listening to Chazal. Yeah, that's a different mitzvah. That's what you're suggesting. You're saying, I'm discussing another tzad. I want to know, would he get the mitzvah of shofar? He blew a shofar. It says in the Torah, blow shofar. He blew a shofar on Shabbos. Now,
have you reconciled with the mitzvah of the
Because it's an Avera Derabbanan.
It would be an Avera Derabbanan in a Chanami. I would rather... I would argue, right, it might not be Be'in, it might not be at the same time. In order to be Mitzvah of Avera, it always has to be at the same time. When exactly you were a violation of the Yisr? I'm not sure.
Like blowing the shofar is not...
But it could be blown.
It's carrying the shofar.
No,
it's getting them there.
No, the chayra, that was the motivation. The motivation was the carrying. What they were, what they asked was blowing the shofar. But again, I'm not sure how that works when you have a dinda rice.
There was the carrying.
Right, but the
wrong with blowing the shofar.
But the ban was blowing shofar.
I understand that, but that's not because
right. That's correct.
Not because it's you're over on a deraisa to blow on.
That's correct.
It's that shara for that might be an.
That is a great.
There's a difference.
So let's see. This mamash leads us into this meat, right? Even plan.
Would actually be in a deraisa. Oh, cutting. It's
there. You go. Okay, beautiful. I did not even set this up, but it works. A beautiful segue into this meiri. Says the meiri. That's perfect. Says the meiri. Yesh mitartzim. Says me, I want to answer this kasha. What's the answer? Sheshayfer u'megilav alulav ein b'kiyam mitzvasim melach. Okay, when a person blows shayfer, there's nothing intrinsically against the Torah about sounding a horn. Waving a tree and a little fruit is not a direct violation of anything in the Torah. That we know. That's not a violation of the Torah. The efshar says to me, possibly sheilu how you b'kiyum melacha. If let's say it would have been loyhutru, attack would have not been permitted. Meaning the reason my rabbi came onto the playing field was because we would have been taking a lulav on Shabbos and we would have been blowing shofar on Shabbos because shofar and Shabbos are not contradictory procedures. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with sounding a shofar on Shabbos. So now that the Torah, so to say, permitted it, rabbi came later and he prohibited it. V'acha shekein, kol sheyesh chashash b'mitzvasin, shema yovle de melacha, dinu shetitcha. So then the Meiri says that then rabbi said, one second, although there's nothing really wrong about this, but if I see in the future that this can lead to an Avera, I have to stop it before it starts. That was Rabbah. Every time you do a Mila, you're a direct violation of the Torah. Because cutting is directly against the Torah. How can you push it off? The Torah, in itself is a Malacha. The Torah knew that. When the Torah wrote to be Yom HaShmini Yimo, the Torah knew good and well that means it's going to be on Shabbos. And the Torah knew that Shabbos and Mila are a direct contradiction. And the Torah said, I don't care. So who gives you the right now, says the Meiri, to say, well, maybe you'll come in violation of course it'll be in violation of Shabbos.
No, but that's the Malacha they allowed.
Okay. That's the argument point. That's the argument you can make.
Unless
you
say, Mechshiri Mitzvah is committed.
Could be. Could be. That's why I said there's more to talk about in this Meiri. You could always argue and say, maybe it doesn't work that. But I wanted this one line of Meiri. V'oid, Shari min ha-toyra af Mechshiri Mila doicha Shabbos. Bam Chiddush. Says the Meiri that even in Rabbi Akiva's world, Machshire Mila Midaraisa Doicha Shabbos. Unbelievable. It's only the Rabbanan answered it.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Gotta love the Meiri. It's wild. What?
How did he say that?
Because
it doesn't say that.
I'm with you. He doesn't say anything. He's very vague. He's very vague. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't say. I think this is going to be very negeya in a few minutes. Negeya halacha and lumdus and things like that. The whole thing's only a sudra bonus, so you can start playing around with, you know, heterim. With whenever you have a sudra bonus, we always have heterim. And mila nachri and this and that. All these.
Daik in the Meiri, maybe mashire mila docha shavas not putra.
Could be.
And then even Rabbi Kiva,
again, I'm not sure how much the Medak when they were showing him here, his agenda wasn't to get involved in that child. He was just trying to explain.
Itself, which is
could be. Could be he's Michalik. Again, I don't know what to make of this Meiri. It's an unbelievable Meiri to think when you go through the Sugya, think about in Rabbi Kiva's world, and Midaraisa Machshiri Mila Deicha Shabbos, where that just limits the entire Machloikis. It means Rabbi Kiva and Eliezer really agreed to each other. They're arguing on a rabbinic level. Wow, which is a change of the whole playing field. But that's Isaac
the Meiri. When the Meiri is saying on Rabbi Akiva?
Yeah, he's going on Rabbi Akiva.
When it's talking about the Malacha, is this focusing on the Malacha or the individual? Or both?
What do you mean?
If the Malacha itself would be, according to Rabbi Akiva, is there a distinction?
Such as?
No, I'm saying, let's say the Malacha itself or the preparation itself could have been done beforehand, but by anyone, okay. But that individual, you know, had a limitation to do it beforehand.
So again, that might be totally if that individual was, we'll call it an onus, an uncontrollable situation.
No, I'm saying, but I'm saying.
I mean, it could have been done. You couldn't have done it.
Right.
Okay. So we'll see in a second how that's going to work. So this maybe is just something you got to keep in mind when again. I don't think most people know this maybe, but you got to mention it. So let's go back to the second in Rabbi Akiva's world. According to Rabbi Akiva, what has the Mishnah read? Kol melacha she'efshal la'asayisim erev Shabbos ain't a day chedisha. Anything that could have been. What does it mean could have been done? What's included in could have been done? I technically could have had 12 knives ready to anticipate the worst case scenario. Or does it mean anything means I could have done as a normal human being? I prepared, let's say, normally two knives, and punk, both of them broke on Shabbos morning. Would Rabbi Akiva then say, well, you did as much as you can, and then the Torah does allow machshir umila to be deicha Shabbos. It's going to depend on whether or not you're gairish that word umila. It's in parentheses. Now, if you read it like this, kol shmalacha she'efshal asayisim erev Shabbos ain't a deicha Shabbos, umila she'efshal asayisim, which means mila is the example. Mila is the example of something which couldn't have been done before. Anything that's not like mila is considered could have been done before. That's everything. Mila is the only thing that couldn't have been done before Shabbos, putting aside the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, which we spoke about. Mila can only be done on Shabbos. So anything that's not like mila is not deicha Shabbos. Which means, according to that reading, if I prepared five knives and then all the five break Shabbos morning, that's still not like mila. Those are all things that could have been done before. It could have. It could have bought a tenth knife. It could have. So that would not be deicha. If you're not goyish the word mila, so then you read it differently. Then you read kol melacha she'efshal aseisim erev Shabbos. She'efshal, I couldn't have done it before. What do you want me to do? I prepared all that I could have prepared. I did all I could have done. What? It's not efshal aseisim. So if it's not efshal aseisim, it would be doich. That would be the nafkin min.
That would mean that in order to do the mitzvah of mila, which is doche,
correct,
right? Because you didn't do everything you could to make that happen, the machshire is more important than the mitzvah itself, than the kiyum of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is so important that it's docha Shabbos.
The mitzvah itself is so important that
it's docha Shabbos, which is rare.
Right, true.
Still, if you didn't do, like if you didn't get 1,000, where would it end?
Right, so if you go with that, if you have the word mila in there, so then the answer is everything could have been done before. Everything besides for the actual cutting could have been done before, and therefore, if it could have been done before, it should have been done before, and it's not deicha Shabbos. That's one way of reading it.
It's a message from
Hashem. Again, that's the way you have to look at it. The mitzvah is deicha. Now,
listen, you'll do it tomorrow. It's not like
that's right. But I want to look at Rashi for a second. One very important Rashi, the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi says, Vishi'i efshar la'aseis me'er of Shabbos. So if you stop right there, Rashi wasn't going with the word mila.
He stopped. You don't know.
Well, no, the word mila would have been first, right?
No, doche.
She'i efshal aseisim erev Shabbos. So it should have started off, the divrei machzor should have started.
Oh, yeah, we started afterwards, so we don't know.
What do you mean? The first word should have been umila she'i efshal aseisim erev Shabbos. No? That was the phrase. The last Rashi on the Mishnah, source number two. The last Rashi on the Mishnah, Rashi starts off, ushe'i efshal aseisim erev Shabbos. So the lechaira, before you actually open the Rashi, Rashi sounds like he wasn't going with the word mila. However, it says the next line, keep going mila.
Maybe.
So the Yesh Ladin with this Rashi. Is Rashi mean to say that although in the Mishnah he wasn't Gairis Mila, he still thinks that Mila is the example? Or Mila is an example but not the rule? Kigoin Mila Atzma, She'ef Shalal La Soysa, you can't do before. There's Mana B'yemash Mini Derechas Shabbos. So the Chassam Sefer number 10 says from Rashi, Mila She'ef Shalal La Soysa Me'ef Shabbos, Mashma Dafka Mila, V'chein Pirish Rashi. Some Sefer learns in Rashi that Rashi was of the opinion that only the mila, nothing else is ever Mechal Shabbos in Rabbi Akiva's world, because everything else is considered possible.
But it wouldn't be Kagom, it would be the Hainu mila.
Right. Yeah, I'm not so sure.
That's the only one.
Right, so that's why he holds like that in Rashi. Kigoy,
but right. I'm saying the word Kigoy would be the Hainu mila.
The word Kigoy,
that's the only thing that there is.
The word Kigoy is a little difficult according to this. So he writes, Avo Shum Machshirin Loi, Afilu Nishbar Sakini B'Shabbos. Even if the knife were to break on Shabbos, Mikomachim Kivan Shakoponim Min Machshirin Efshel Asois Merv Shabbos, you still could have. You could have prepared another knife. Shuv Eina Deicha Shabbos. That's the way Chassam Sofer learns Rashi. However, in other Rishonim, it's not so posh. L'moshel, if you look at number 10, there's a riff in Shabbos. The riff quotes the Bahag. The Bahag writes like this. Ashkechon, the riff quotes from the Bahag, who says the following. Ashkechon b'haloch is g'doylo is k'siv. It says in the Bahag, Heicha da'aisi zemo b'mal l'shabso l'shabso. Let's say the moel brought the knife on Friday to the shul. V'ignav. The knife got stolen. Oyifkim got ruined. Mikame mila before the mila happened. Again, he did what he could do. He prepped properly. An uncontrollable situation happened. What happens now? Says the Bahag, Shari le lemei malanochri le tzivu se le suyi zem alachrina. You're allowed to do amir lanochri. You're allowed to do amir lanochri. Oh! What do you mean? Why am I only allowing a guy? Why don't I do it myself according to Bakiva? That's efshal asoy simei of Shabbos. You see from the Bahag that the Bahag assumed, no. even though this is the most extreme case of Yeshua, what do you want me to do? I did all I could have done. I came before Shabbos and I set it up and everything worked and uncontrollable. Still, all the riffers, all the Bahag was willing to allow you to do was Amir Lenachri. That's a Durabonin. He wasn't allowing you to go yourself. Then on top of that, the riff argues on the Bahag. And the riff concludes, he says over here, the last line, V'haydikas v'bal halachas tu'usuhu. He thinks the Bahag is not correct. And this is a bigger sugya of Amir Lenachri, when we're matter, when we're not matter. But l'chari, what you see from these Rishonim is no one was open to the idea of let the Mael himself go. It's according to Rakiva, this is a Machshirin that was Yev Shalas Yisim Erev Shabbos. So clearly both the Bahag and the Rif were of the opinion.
You have to do that in Amir Lenachri, or should you wait till the night Sunday?
No, we had a possibility of learning in the Rakiva that if you did all the preparatories that you could, and then something happened, you would be allowed to be Machal Shabbos. You yourself.
You have to do it.
You'd be allowed to, and therefore you should. Also, Yom HaShemini. Here, these Rishayim are suggesting, no, you wouldn't be allowed to do anything yourself. Best case is ask a goy, because it'd be Amir Lenachri, which is Mutl, Tzarech Mitzvah.
Best case, waiting until Sunday?
According to this, yeah. According to the Chassam Sefer, according to Rashi, if or asking a goy, but you yourself is not correct. If there'd be no goyim in the town, according to the Chassam Sefer, according to Rashi, you would not be doing the meal on Shabbos. You have to do it on Sunday.
That means that it's certainly not Hutra, and it's not
that's right.
Either.
That's right. So therefore you'd have to wait.
So that would be, it's sure. Better not to be over
that's right.
Avera than to be a kind of a
right. Although again, back to the Meiri. According to the Meiri, if the Moel would go and do it on Shabbos, it'd only be a violation of a Derabbanon if he'd go and carry the knife, but still, we keep the Derabbanon. This is all in these Rishayim. But again, another Meiri, another great Meiri in Shabbos. This Meiri is troubling. I'm not sure how to read the Meiri. Again, we're trying to figure out in Rabbi Akiva's world, would you be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Machshirei Mila if you prepped before Shabbos properly? So we said from the Rif, and then it always happened. Reads the Meiri in Shabbos like this. Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva. Kloima. Balach like al Rabbi Eliezer. The purpose of Rabbi Akiva is to argue in Rabbi Eliezer. Loima to say, She Machshirei Mila ain't a Deichel to Shabbos. Machshirei Mila is not Deichel Shabbos. V'omar Derech Klal, he said in a rule, She kol Malach She'ef Shal Aseis Merib Shabbos. Uposha, any malach that you could have done, and you were negligent, below your soul, and you didn't do it on Shabbos, then ain't a deicha Shabbos. So stop there. This Meiri sounds like he's spinning Rabbi Akiva's words. He's spinning Rabbi Akiva to mean that kol malachish efshal asayis means you could have and you decided not to. But if you couldn't have done it, you weren't pashe, you weren't negligent, you prepared. Then according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be deicha Shabbos, not like the Rif, and not like the Bahag, and not like the Chassam Sefer in Rashi. But the end of the Meiri is a little troubling to me. He writes at the end, Avol Mila, but he contrasts it to Mila. Avol Mila Shaloi Haya Efshal Aseis Merib Shabbos, Deicha Shabbos. So the two pieces of Meiri to me sound somewhat contradictory. In the first piece of Meiri, he sounds like it's saying it's up to you what you prepped. And then at the end he says, but the contrast is Mila, which is impossible to be done before. Okay, so what about those things which could have been done before, but nothing has happened? So I'm personally getting conflicting reports from the front line, first line of the Meiri and the second line of the Meiri, where he stands. But definitely one point of the Meiri sounds very clear, that he would hold, in our case of the Chassam Sofer, where the knife broke Shabbos morning, or the knife got stolen Shabbos, he would hold that you'd be allowed to Mechal Shabbos.
And it's not negative, it's not to have had a backup.
That's right. I guess that wouldn't be considered... That would be considered a violation that you should have had a backup plan. That you did whatever is normally expected. Now, there's another opinion in the Rishayim, which we'll just mention a lot to discuss more next week, Mr. Shem, is Taisus and Yevamis. Taisus and Yevamis disagrees with everything we said till now. Taisus and Yevamis and Avav and Mebeis is of the opinion that Machshirei Mila according to Akiva is Deicha Shabbos if you did all that you could have done. You prepped all you could have prepped and you did everything you could have done and still something happened, then Machshirei Mila Deicha Shabbos. According to Rabbi Akiva, if you brought the knife to Shul Shabbos morning and you brought it before Shabbos and you're ready to go and there's a break-in and then you show up Shabbos morning there's no knife, you, the Moel, go, walk in the Rishas Rabbim, go to the store, buy a knife, make a knife, whatever you need to do. Then, even according to Rabbi Akiva, Machshirei Mila would be Deicha Shabbos because you did whatever you could do. That's the sheet of Taisus and Yevamis. But now, the next week, we'll talk more about how this plays out in other cases. See you in Rambam.